From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. With her much-needed victory in Pennsylvania, Senator Hillary Clinton keeps on fighting for the White House.
Some people counted me out and said to drop out, but the American people... Well, the American people don't quit, and they deserve a president who doesn't quit either.
Hillary Clinton took the Pennsylvania primary by 10 points last night. But how much does that change the delegate math? For more, we have NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving. Hey, Ron.
Good to be with you.
Yes, always great to have you on. So she pulled off this double-digit win. Some predictions were saying that she'd win by 4 points, 5 points. She had been up by, 22 points way back in the race. Was this not just a victory, but a major victory?
It was a necessary victory, and that's the most important thing. If she hadn't won this primary, it would be very difficult to continue to make the case for her candidacy. But having won it, and having won it by around 10 points, it looks like the final margin may be a little under that. If she's won it by this much, she can say, I'm the champ of the big states that are the base of the Democratic Party when it wins a presidential election. And that's what we're looking at in November. And don't I look more like the profile of a Democratic winner than somebody who's running up, 30-some states and winning a lot of caucus states and, basically looking more like somebody who's depending on independents and crossover voters?
Now, how does this affect her chances in the primary race when it comes to delegates, both earned delegates and superdelegates?
It has a small immediate effect on the pledged delegate count, about 10 thereabouts, maybe a couple more when they finish doing all the calculations. But the way the Democratic rules work, unless it's a total blowout, the winner does not get that many more delegates than the person finishing second. And in this particular state, where certain districts, particularly in the inner city, have had much greater Democratic participation, much greater Democratic margins, they get more delegates disproportionate to their actual proportion to their actual population. So that's another plus for Barack Obama, as it has been in some other similar states. So the delegate effect is not great. It brings down his advantage among pledged delegates by about 10, and that's not going to make any difference. So what she has to do is leverage that to get a bigger payoff from superdelegates by telling them, look, I've got to be your candidate in November. You still have time to make this decision and reverse the judgment of the pledged delegates.
Who was in whose camp? What I mean by that is racial demographics, age, first-time voters, any sense of who went for whom?
Oh, it was quite clear as it's been in any of the primaries, where you had, for example, African-Americans splitting 9-1 in favor of Barack Obama, while Hillary Clinton won the white vote, particularly among women, but also among men. Barack Obama needs to get close, at least among white men, if he's going to win a state. And in this particular case, the margin was almost as great for white men as it was for the overall vote. About 53-54% of the white men voted for Hillary Clinton. Now, as far as first-time voters, and there were a lot of them, about 20% of the overall vote was cast by people who were voting in their first Democratic primary. Some of them had switched over from being independents or Republicans. Some of them were first-time voters. And among those people, 60% voted for Barack Obama. So that was where he was doing well. Also among, and this is a kind of a overlap group, a similar group, the people under 30 years old, there he was winning 3 votes out of 5.
Now, this was one of the first sets of, campaigning where we saw Obama really try to engage in negative campaigning. Do you expect to see more of that? And how did the tactic work for him this time around?
It all depends on what you mean by negative campaigning. If you mean taking shots at your opponent, yeah, he's done that, particularly in Pennsylvania, more than in earlier states. And yes, we will see him say more critical things about Hillary Clinton, particularly in counterpunching at some of the things that she's said about him or implied about him. But it does not necessarily redound to either candidate's benefit to do this. Interestingly, in Pennsylvania, a majority of the voters, even though Hillary Clinton won easily, a majority of the voters thought she had run the more negative campaign in Pennsylvania. And we've seen that in other states as well, sometimes by a great lopsided margin, such as in Wisconsin. So that's not going to be a solution. For Barack Obama to decide he's going to get much more negative will only attract attention to his doing so and make him look desperate.
And what races are we looking at next?
On May 6th, there will be primaries in North Carolina and Indiana. And if you combine those two states, they've got about 30 delegates more than Pennsylvania. So if Barack Obama could win both, he could, to a large degree, counterbalance or even erase the memory of this Pennsylvania result. He's well ahead in North Carolina. That doesn't look to be too much of a problem for him. But Indiana is quite close. The most recent polls have him ahead by just a hair. I think we'll see quite a few more polls in the next 2 weeks, and it's going to be quite close. The demographics there are maybe just a little younger, so that helps Obama a little bit. He does not do well among voters in their 60s and older. And the demographics do not have quite as many African Americans as in Pennsylvania, but it's a substantial enough number to be helpful to him.
All right, Ron, thanks.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with NPR's senior Washington editor, Ron Elving, and he joined us from our NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C.